My consideration today, titled Because of Them, was inspired by a little boy named Elijah. No, it is not the biblical prophet Elijah, but it is my beautiful grandson born on July 12th this year. To be a parent of consecrated children is an unspeakable joy of my life, now to be only topped up by having a grandson. This year was especially eventful for me personally, as I lost my father, Brother Eugene, in March, and became a grandfather 3 months later. Those two events evoked within me many reflections about myself and about the role of others in my life, about the impact that we have on each other in the relationships we encounter in the course of our life, and about the blessings and responsibilities of grandparents. In Proverbs 17:6, we read, and we will read from the Contemporary English Translation, "Grandparents are proud of their grandchildren, and children should be proud of their parents." Yesterday, I asked you to write down the name of someone other than your parents who had profound impact on who you are today. Now, please reach to your heart, find this person, and reflect on the beauty and the importance of that relationship that you were blessed with. As we said yesterday, we are made in an image of God. We are made for relationships. You can look at the most beautiful flower or the most stunning sunset and marvel at its beauty. But the flower or the sun will never look back at you. It will never reciprocate the compliment. Only another human can reflect back at you and compliment you back, can reflect back at you who you are. This is what it means to be human. We are made for relationships. We are largely today because of them. I wish we could hear the name and the stories of that special person that you hold dear in your heart. But that's not feasible. So I asked Brother Ben Shebach and Brother Brett Blackwell and Brother Arbor Furness to share their testimony about that special person or person in their lives. We met each other when I first came to Canada, and we quickly became friends because of the truth connections and because of we are in the same age bracket. So I thought it would be interesting to hear their perspective. We'll start with Brother Ben.
Thank you, Brother Daniel. Yeah, you asked me about that, and I thought about my grandmothers. They each had a profound effect on my life. My grandmother and my mother's side sister, Antonia Kamenowski, left Poland after her husband was shot by the Russian army as a CO and came to Canada. And she was a real inspiration when it came to work ethic, how to survive, perseverance, but primarily her love of truth and her love to share that with others and her desire to study and to serve God was a profound effect on me and helped in my deciding to make a consecration. And my other grandma, on my dad's side, sister Julia Seawalk, was a quieter lady, but she had a wonderful compassion for others. She loved to show hospitality and kindness. She always had a kind word to say about everyone. And even to the extent that even at her funeral, even the neighbors from the area around always said, We never heard her say anything bad about anyone. And so I had these two influences as I grew up, and they were a wonderful joy to be around and an inspiration to try and mimic them through the rest of my life. Thank you, Brother Daniel.
Brother Brad.
Thank you, Brother Ben and Brother Daniel. Both of you have had a substantial influence in my life, especially in the important beginnings of my Christian walk. I'm truly grateful for both of you. In addition to you and my parents, of course, I've been greatly blessed by my relationship with my dear wife, Sister Tamara Blackwell. I'd like to share three ways that she's shaped me for the better. First, she's serious about living her life for the Lord and is accountable to her commitment of consecration. And this is a daily example of love for me. Second, she thinks differently from me. What is simple for me is often complex for her. What is complex for me is often simple for her. And this is constantly humbling and educational for both of us. And third, she spends much of her time increasing her knowledge of the Word, reading reprint articles and organizing devotionals. And we together are able to marvel at the masterful design of God's plan revealed through his faithful servants and through the ministry of our loving Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Thank you, Brother Brad, Brother Albert.
Thank you, brothers. The first question was, who had a profound impact? As a child amongst the brethren, I soaked up every detail. I watched you and those who came before you. Nothing got by me. As a child, there were two kinds of brethren. A handful who made me afraid, and those whose arms I simply melted in. I felt Christ-like, tender love of enormous elders, such as Brother Pollock, Brother Fay, and Brother Woodworth. Sitting on the floor of Brother Woodworth's home, watching him lead a study and the way he made people feel. The impact on me was, how do we make others feel and feel about themselves? The next question was, how will I pay it forward? Well, how do I make you feel? How do I make you feel about yourself? If your brother Arbor can't make you feel your best, most loved self in Christ, what good will I be in the bride teaching mankind? Brother Daniel.
And what a wonderful testimonies. My grandmothers, my wife, brethren, we all impact each other. Thank you for sharing your stories. When I reflect back on my life, I also discovered that there are a number of people who have influenced me. When I came to Canada at a very young age, Brother Eugene Mihalitsa became much more than my guardian. He became my friend, my counselor. When I moved to Vancouver, Brother Charlie Chambers became my mentor. But when I look back at my life, I realized that the people who had the biggest impact on who I am today were my both grandparents, and each one of them in a very different way. My grandfather, Bronisław, on my mother's side, in many ways shaped who I am today as a person. He was not a brother in Christ, but he knew how to teach and love a child. He was a gentleman with a great sense of humor who loved animals and nature. He showed me the beauty and value of life. He was a farmer, war veteran, labor camp survivor, a very patient man, an excellent storyteller. I spent hours and hours helping him, so I thought, and listening to his instructions, wartime stories, observing his interaction with others. He never told me, even once, that he loved me. But I could just feel this with all my heart. The only other person who ever made me feel that way again was my father-in-law, Brother Stanisław Ćwiartka. Also very simple but gentle man who showed me his heart. Coming back to my grandpa, it is interesting that on my recent visit to Poland, I asked my brother Les the question, who had the biggest influence on his life? Without hesitation, he said, Grandpa Bronisław. My grandfather Stanley, that you can see on the image, on my father's side was very different from my other grandfather. But I inherited from him a very special gift, the gift of truth. My grandfather Stanley was a builder and inventor. There was no electricity in the village where he lived. So with his own hands, he built a windmill using parts collected from damaged war vehicles. He told us that when he was a young man, he would go to the orchard and under his favorite apple tree, he would stare into the sky and he would pray. God, if you exist, reveal yourself to me. A sincere prayer of a young man that was answered through bitter experiences. He was a family man with five small children, a devoted Catholic, singing in the church choir, crafting sacred objects of worship for the church. Because he was a skilled craftsman, he was hired by the priest to build an addition to a church. When the project was finished, the priest not only dodged paying him for the work, but physically assaulted his grandmother, my grandmother, falsely accused my grandfather of theft, and as a result, my grandfather ended up in jail for 6 months. Because of those hardships, the family was deprived of basic necessities, nourishment and medication, and consequently, two of his children died in 1 week from an illness. After those experiences, my grandfather lost his trust in the church and subsequently his faith in God. In fact, he made an application to the authority to have his name removed from the church records, which was very unusual at that time as the church was the official record keeper. Yet every time he looked into the sky, he remembered his prayer under the apple tree. As the years passed by, my grandfather heard of someone else in the adjacent village that didn't go to church. This was one of our brothers who introduced the truth to him. That was the new beginning of spiritual life for him. The truth became the most important and precious part of my grandfather's life. He loved it with all his being. He passed it on to his three surviving children, who in return passed into theirs, and I was one of them. I pray that I would be able, if such is the Lord's will, to pass it on to my children and grandchildren as a precious heritage. Throughout the history, the scripture, grandparents have played a central role in lives of their grandchildren. Today, let us reflect on the value of grandparents, the past and present. There are many heroes in the scriptures, many heroes of faith. As we read those stories, We typically see them as patriarchs or prophets, kings or military leaders. But rarely, if ever, we think of them as grandparents. However, it is true that most of the well-known people in the Bible were grandparents. Many played a key role in the history, and each has something to teach us modern-day grandparents. We will consider a few biblical grandparents and see what we can learn from them. First, Enoch was a great grandfather of Noah. And it is said of him that Enoch walked faithfully with God, Genesis 5:22 and 24. He didn't just walk with God for a season or two or when things were easy. No, he walked with God for 300 years during an age of a world degradation, such degradation that God, in fact, wiped out the entire world except Noah's grandson's family, just two generations later. Enoch lived against the grain of society and became the first man to experience something that even Adam did not experience, the true meaning of walking with God, heritage that was passed on through his grandson Noah. He learned how to commune with God in every moment and circumstance of life. What does a person that is walking with God really look like? What characteristic is such a person displaying? How far-reaching is the influence of such individual? Is it possible to be fully fulfilled in such a life? What lesson can we learn from Grandpa Enoch? Walking with God is a lifelong condition, one which might require that we live against the grain of society, something that is very real in today's reality. I think it is safe to say that Enoch passed on the moral values unto his grandson Noah. We also, by faith, walk. We can pass on our values that will affect generation. In Psalm 33, verse 11, we read, "The plan of the Lord stand forever, the plans of his heart from generation to generation." The second biblical example we'll consider is Jacob's grandfather. We are first introduced to him where he is called by God to leave his country and his family. Without hesitation, he follows his call. He sets on a journey into unknown, trusting his God infinitely. Because of his unwavering faith and trust, in the course of his journey, he developed an intimate closeness and friendship with God. It is said of him and only of him in the scriptures, in James 2:23, that he was a friend of God. And scriptures was fulfilled with this saying, "Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God." Jesus also refers to him in John 8:56. "Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad, for he was looking for the city which foundations and whose architect and builder is God." Abraham viewed things through the eyes of faith. He grasped the future by going to a foreign land. Romans 8:5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their mind on things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit." Abraham was a visionary, far-reaching by the virtue of his faith and trust in God. What does a person that is a friend of God really look like? How is to interact with such a person? How far-reaching is the effect of faith of someone who is a friend of God? His grandson Jacob became the father of the nation. This makes Abraham the grandfather not only to Jacob, but to the entire nation. One of the lessons that we can learn from Grandpa Abraham is that of a prompt at complete obedience. Most of us like to plan ahead. We want to know detail. We need to know where and how we get there. But this was not the case with Abraham. Abraham knew God. He had complete trust in his friend. When asked to do hard, humanly impossible thing, Abraham knew God. Our lesson from Grandpa Abraham is this: sure belief and trust comes from knowing God. We'll move to another person. We all admire David for his bravery as a young man and his greatness as one of the greatest kings of Israel. But we truly love David for his ability to be in touch with the true human emotions and express them in the way that we can all relate and identify it with. Bravery, intellect, sensitivity. What a powerful makeup. Whom did he inherit this from? The great grandparents of King David are Ruth and Boaz. And they teach us much about God's love, forgiveness, and grace. Ruth was non-Jewish woman, a daughter-in-law of Naomi, an Israeli living in Moab. The Moabites were the descendants of Lot, but were not considered the children of Abraham. Upon the death of her husband and all the men in the family, Ruth was the one who took a leap of faith by leaving her home, her family, her religion, to follow Naomi back to her home in Bethlehem, to live among enemies of her people. Ruth was a foreigner in a strange and hostile land. Boaz, Ruth's eventual redeeming husband, whom, as we know, represents the Son of Man, the Redeemer of Adam, was the son of Rahab. We recall that Rahab was also a non-Jewish woman and a former prostitute who survived Israeli conquest of Jericho, because she hid the Jewish spies and helped them escape. Can you just imagine the stories Boaz heard from as a boy? Stories of God's incredible work in Jericho and in the lives of Rahab family. The redemption story of forgiveness of a foreigner and harlot who was saved by the grace of God and grafted into Israeli tree. I'm sure the personal testimony of God's abounding love poured on Rahab affected the way Boaz viewed Ruth the day he saw her gleaning in the field and discovering who she was. Most likely he saw something familiar and dear in the woman who had left everything to embrace Naomi, her nation, and God. What does a person really look like when they have experienced her love and forgiveness in his or her life? What characteristic would such a person display? How far-reaching is the tenderness of loving heart? Many lessons come from the pair of these biblical grandparents. They teach us the importance of sharing our experiences, our life stories with our children and grandchildren, that they teach us to trust God with their lives as we share the story of God's love for reconciliation, for redemption, for forgiveness. Now, we'll look at one more example from the New Testament. It is recorded that Timothy's grandmother was the starting point of sincere faith that was seen in both her daughter and her grandson. In 2 Timothy 1:5, we read, I am reminded of your sincere faith, which was first lived in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and now I presume lives in you also. And later on, in the same letter, Apostle Paul, we learn from Apostle Paul that Timothy has been taught by his grandmother since childhood, 2 Timothy 3:14 and 15. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have been become convinced of, because you know those from whom you have learned it. And from infancy, you know the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. From this record, we can see that Grandma Lois had a generational mindset. She did not work to cultivate the faith in her daughter only. No, she continued to work, investing in the next generation. Grandma Lois set the foundation for Timothy to develop the man that he became. There are valuable lessons that we can learn from Lois, that we also need to have a generational mindset as we work to cultivate the sincere faith in those who come after us. When our children become independent, we may think that our work is finished, that we have earned the time for ourselves, that our grandchildren are someone else's work. But let us keep Lois and this lesson from Deuteronomy 4:9 in our mind. We are to make the things of God known to our grandchildren and pass them as a heritage of faith. And to do so, we must understand the value of our relationship with them. Lois valued her relationship with Timothy, and through it was able to have a great influence on his life. According to the research and from personal experience, grandparents have the most influence on their grandchildren from any other than parents. Taking lesson from Lois, we must understand that our relationship with our grandchildren is our priority, a place where we can, from early age, pass on a heritage of faith. May it be said of us, as it was said of Grandpa Jotham, Hezekiah's grandfather, in 2 Kings 15:34. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord. May every one of us be a model of God's grace to those who come after us, who are watching and will surely be affected by the lives we choose to live. As we reflect on the relationships in our lives, we realize that who we are today is largely because of them. I invite you to share on the chat, if you see it fit, the name and the special person in your heart. You can share just a name, or you can share a short story, short line about them. You are here today because of them. It is my personal wish that one day, little Eli, will listen to this talk and will say in his heart, Grandpa, I'm here today because of you. It is my sincere wish to all of you, but especially to those of you who are grandparents or those that will become grandparents, that one day someone will say, I'm here because of you. Amen.